Well, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Nick Gregory, and I'm founder and CEO of both the Financial Engineering Institute and Family Wealth Hub, as well as the Charitable Capital Design Center. And I'll be hosting today's teleconference, which is part of our Financial Engineering teleconference series. Now, we'll be taking a Reader's Digest version of a very complex topic, is how do we maximize money market returns on an FDIC-insured basis in today's marketplace? So let me begin by introducing our special guest. Jay Stillman is Chief Marketing Officer of CDC Deposits Corporation, with its national headquarters in Miami, Florida, and 9 offices spread around the country. Now, we'll be taking an interview approach, so let me start out by asking you, Jay, a little bit about your background and the history and background of CDC Deposits.
Sure. First of all, Nick, thanks for taking the time to allow us to get the word, explain who we are to the people who know you and know your organization. So to give you a little bit of background on myself, I've been in the business myself for a while. I've been in financial services, started off at Merrill Lynch and worked in various parts of that organization, and then actually started to move over to a company called Lincoln Financial, which people may know of, and started their Union Investment Trust trading desk. I don't know if you remember working with those products back in the day. And slowly evolved into the cash side of the business versus being in the investment side. And that's started around 2008. I work for a company called the Reserve Funds, which people may have known of, not necessarily in a good light. But fortunately, I got an opportunity here to work at CDC, which has been around since 2000. And what makes CDC very unique is its ability to aggregate for investors the ability to put money in multiple banks through one transaction. And we've been doing this for almost 17 years. And the reason we put it together is the founder of the company recognized that people wanted to have their money insured, but didn't necessarily want to, go out and open accounts in multiple banks. And so they came up with a system that allows investors to, say, take $1 million and have it invested in up to 5 banks through one transaction. And we've grown it ever since. And it's been an interesting ride. We have gone through the ups and downs of the various interest rates over the bunch of years, and really have grown a successful model catering to, you know, various types of investors. Some of them could be individuals, they'd be corporate, they could be municipalities, governments. And so it's an ongoing opportunity for us to find new investors.
Okay.
That helpful?
How did you assemble I refer to it as the CDC, National Banking Network. How did you go about assembling that? With that network, what's your maximum FDIC insured limit?
So, great question. You know, we, over the years, you know, we are a national organization so that we are creating relationships with banks and investors all throughout the country. Are primarily, you know, we're working with banks that want to accept deposits and pay a good interest rate. So we're working with them on a daily basis to provide the best opportunity for the investors to get a very good rate of return. And so we do that by literally me and a couple of my colleagues reaching out and finding banks that want to accept deposits. As that happens, we're on the other side of our, you know, we're a transaction that we're facilitating within our network. Is identifying investors. And those investors come from us from different areas. You know, we've traditionally, when we first started the company, we were getting them from other banks because a lot of investors would walk into a bank and they didn't feel comfortable putting money at just one bank. So what they would do is they'd say, hey, listen, how would you get this placed in other institutions on my behalf? And that's where Max became, you know, a program that banks were offering. And over time, we recognized...
What's your program, Max?
Yep, MAM, Money Market Account Extra. That's correct.
Okay.
And we recognized that we could have banks provide our services to investors that were looking for expanded FDIC insurance. And then it's just grown throughout the years, identifying other opportunities for investors to come into our network. And the advisor community has really become a new opportunity for us over the last couple of years. We have found that advisors who are looking to help their clients, you know, with their cash balances that otherwise are receiving, you know, very low money market interest rates. And as you know, well, you know, since 2009, that's been the case. And it's just helped us identify a whole new world of investor opportunities, be it in the, like I mentioned, in the government world, or high net worth individuals or corporations, trust companies that have these funds that are receiving little to nothing. And now obviously rates are changing, but with the opportunity that we have with banks, we've been ahead of the yield curve so far.
Okay, so if one of my advisors has a wealth management client and they have, say, a million, $1.2 million, or yeah, $1.2 million in a money market account earning 35 basis points at one of the custodial firms or Bank of America, whichever it might be, what might you be recommending or discussing there?
So one of the things we do is take those deposits, such as somebody who has it at a particular bank, or even if they have it at a broker-dealer or whatever. The way our system works is we would say to them, listen, if you have an opportunity to have those funds placed in a liquid account that provides an interest rate above and beyond what you're getting in a money market rate. So say I suggested we could pay them 80 basis points. That's well above the average of receiving in a money market account or even a money fund currently. And what they would do is they would say to their client, well, if you had the opportunity to place those funds in a liquid deposit that provides up to $25 million of FDIC insurance, at the same time conveying a very good interest rate, you know, would that be, you know, of interest to you? And, you know, what we have found is it's been, you know, as you and I had just discussed before we got on the call, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. So today is an opportunity for us to kind of get out the word that we, you know, we have a program that's really geared to helping, you know, people who have high net worths, or even somebody who's working with, you know, local institutions that want their money in investments that have to be necessary. Maybe they need to be securitized and so forth. But in our case, we're providing all that ability in one liquid account that provides, obviously, the ultimate. Hopefully, our government doesn't go under FDIC insurance. And with that being said, you know, we are always, you know, looking to work with banks that are considered well capitalized by the FDIC. So if a bank is within our network and it's not considered well capitalized, we have to then pull those funds and put them in a different bank accordingly. So we're always maintaining our network of banks, and we're always looking for new banks to add to the network. So if somebody was speaking to a client, it'd be in, you know, behooves them to say, hey, listen, I have an opportunity for you to pick up some interest rate that otherwise you're receiving, you know, minimal interest rate on at the current, you know, at the moment.
So, how many banks are in your network currently? And I assume they're mostly are community banks, and then you have a network custodian, which is Wells Fargo currently.
That's correct. You know, we have hundreds of banks actually in our network, you know, and the reason we have that is, quite honestly, some banks, you know, they're running a business, and as such, you know, they're like no different than anybody else. Sometimes they want more deposits, sometimes they don't, and we have to continually monitor, you know, where we have deposits and the interest rates accordingly. So for us to manage a network with close to 1.5 billion of assets in it, from our investors, we're constantly, you know, moving money around. So some of these funds reside at a particular bank. You know, normally they would stay there, you know, because what happens is all of our clients have online access, so they can always see where their, you know, where their clients' funds are, or the client themselves can see where their deposits are. And as such, we're normally not necessarily moving their funds on a daily basis, but if there's a case where we are always keeping them FDIC insured, we move them from bank A to bank B. As such, we need multiple banks in our network, because there could be a day that we have to manage our network and their funds are moving around accordingly. So that's why we have so many banks in our network.
So, as opposed to some of the frustrations that clients of our advisors have, and you know, I have $1 million that I want to keep liquid, so I have $250,000 at four banks to maintain FDIC insurance. Whereby, if I understand you correctly, the client could have $10 million, and you could assemble the network of banks and then consolidate it all within your network custodian, which is Wells Fargo. Correct me if I'm wrong. And
That is
then
correct.
all of a sudden assembled online with a single consolidated statement then, right? And look at rates
Exactly.
that may be two and a half times higher than maybe what we're used to.
That's correct, Nick. So, you know, the reason the company, you know, really evolved was an efficiency model, and it's just grown accordingly. And so to the extent that somebody could go out and go get four banks and get better interest rates, well, they have to then aggregate those statements, and they have to then, you know, keep track of them, and they have to put money in four different banks, and then they have to wire funds out of four different banks. We do all that within one transaction, and that's been the benefit of what we do. So somebody who wants to have their funds at as competitive interest rate as we can provide, have it liquid, and have it in one statement, that's the beauty of it. And so we've grown our business accordingly, and also we're very customer service oriented. So if somebody needs something done in a quick basis, we can turn it around very fast. And so that's really how we've grown our business. So you are correct that a lot of our banks are community-based banks. You know, we tend to find that we do better with them than the large regionals, because, or even, you know, the bigger banks, because their interest rates aren't as competitive. And quite honestly, they're not as, you know, we find as working with us to really help our clients. And so we have hundreds of, and there's close to 7,000 banks in this country. So we're always looking for the next best interest rate, or, you know, finding a bank that's, you know, looking for deposits, and that's always where we're ongoing. And what's unique about that as well is you may have a client that may have a deposits that actually in one of the banks that we are working with. As such, we have the ability to say, well, we're not going to send those funds to that particular bank. So by having a large network, we're able to say, all right, Mrs. Smith, you know, if you have money at that bank, we won't send those funds to your funds to that particular bank. So your funds are still fully insured. And so that's what we do on a daily basis. We're always, we call it managing our network. Every day we sign on, we're always looking to see where our funds clients are. If a bank, you know, would say we get a bank that says, listen, I don't want these funds anymore, we're moving them to a different bank. And as such, we're then making sure that those clients' funds are fully insured, because we already know from that client what banks they can be and what they can't be in.
So continuous liquidity, no fees or penalties. But I understand that your withdrawal rate is extremely low. And what did you have last year, about $1.7 billion in assets within your network?
That's right. You know, one of the things we learned, you know, for a while there, interest rates were pretty stable, as you know, being that they low, and now they've gone on an up curve. So, you know, we have to, as an organization, pay attention accordingly to what our investors want. And so normally our deposits are very stable. We normally say to somebody, if they're going to work with us, if they have transactional deposits, that they keep a certain amount at the bank, because quite honestly, it would be coming in and out, and it wouldn't make sense. So most of our deposits are fairly stable. There are people who put them in for, doesn't really have it. We don't have any time frames per se, but it makes sense. And it also makes sense if somebody who has $250,000, they can certainly go off and do this on their own. They don't need us to aggregate deposits on their behalf. So we don't have any minimums. We certainly have maximums because we have, based on the number of banks within our network. But most of our deposits have always been fairly stable within us. The only times we typically have withdrawals is if somebody says they can get a better interest rate someplace else. And that, you know, we try to always be as competitive as possible and work with our advisors. We really are primarily third-party distributed. We don't try to sell direct. We have had clients come to us direct. But in most cases, I've always sold third-party. I've never really sold direct. And we try to do that too, because we find advisors at a far better level of trust, because they get to know us, and then they learn the system, and then their clients are then more reasonable about, you know, understanding that this is money they're going to send out of the system, out of their current system where they may be, and they put into our network. But we do have some clients that come to us direct, but most of the time we work with advisors, and again, the funds are very stable, because they're not looking, if they're going to go make a transaction on it, they're keeping it in whatever clearing platform they may be using. So as you said, we have a custodian, be it Wells Fargo, and they're constantly, we have to match up every night, dollar for dollar, where our funds are. So if we have $1.5 billion in our network, we have to have $1.5 billion, you know, at our banks. And every night we match up.
So to get to the $25 million maximum, you mentioned a $25 million maximum. How does that work relevant to your array of bank, community banks scattered across the country? How does it all multiply out?
Well, it's simple math. So we are always... So if you took $25 million, right, and divided by $250,000, that would be the number. And, you know, essentially we're keeping all those, the funds at those banks under 245, actually. So we, the reason we do that is, so it's always more than the banks that you, that are not potentially used, because we don't want, so say it's 100 banks, we'll go probably under 104 or 5, because we try to keep the balances just in case for accruing interest and so forth. And that's why we need a lot of banks in our network. And we do that, like I said, every day we're always adding and subtracting banks. But most of the time, it's pretty stable.
So statistics tell us that the average family office, the more ultra-high net worth arena, within a ultra-high net worth arena, on average, 8% of their assets are in money market rates. And what we're discovering is, as you and I have gotten to know each other and we've integrated in, you into our, embedded you in our expert sourcing program, your organization, is that, you know, they're used to, we've all gotten so used to money market rates being so doggone low. And so it's like an afterthought. We're not thinking about it anymore. But suddenly if we talk to a, one of my advisors talked to a family office they're working with about, well, you have $8 million sitting in a money market account earning 35 basis points. What if you could generate 80 basis points? It's amazing how the conversation starts changing, whereby, well, 80 basis points is worth talking about. So how do you relate to all that? And then I guess the next question is, where does the 80 basis points come from if we're used to seeing 35 basis points in the larger banks and the custodial firms?
Well, I guess my response to my initial, to your first question is, I understand it. You know, if somebody's on a platform that maybe only offers, you know, X products that offer X interest rate, and that's what they're used to, that may be the case. And I can't speak for advisors and how they provide, you know, investment advice to their clients. But I was, you know, surprised to hear and listening to you in our conversations, you know, that there's an opportunity here for us, which is great. You know, we clearly, you know, provide a product that's based on interest rates that the banks provide us. And so, you know, the Fed typically, interest rates at banks typically go higher quicker than the money funds, right? And so at this point in time, you know, we're way ahead of what money funds are providing, you know, 1940 Act mutual funds. And that'll probably be the case for a while because we are ahead of the curve, the yield curve on that. How do we provide that? Well, we're reaching out to banks that are going to pay us. You know, we have to make income to pay for our, you know, pay for us to run this program. And so I'll go to a bank and say, well, what interest rates could you provide if I can put X number of dollars in your bank? And they'll say, this is what we can do. And as such, you know, we have a spread just like everybody else. And us, and then accordingly, we're passing on, a, you know, our investor rate to our investors, which is through our advisors. Now, we do have some advisors that, you know, may have a gross rate of 80 and maybe they, you know, depending on their type of relationship with their client, you know, they may be, you know, they'll keep 10 basis points and only pass on 70 to their client. I don't know the nature of the family office that well. I know maybe they charge their clients, you know, an overall fee to manage their money. And as such, you know, they would just pass on the full amount. But, and we try to be negotiable with our advisors as best we can. You know, if somebody says, can you help us here? You know, we're a small organization, so we're always trying to be helpful to help our advisors out. So in their dealings with their clients. And I think that's kind of why we like working with you, Nick, is like you're always trying to bring added value to your client space. And you said you like working with niche organizations and ones that aren't gigantic. I think even, you know, my boss Bill had explained that to you. You know, we recognize that, you know, for us to be can provide competitive interest rates, you know, we have to be a little bit smaller than a gigantic organization, but that allows us to kind of find banks that are paying better interest rates, but maybe take a small amount of deposits. So we're always kind of working the network. Provide the best interest rate to our clients, depending on the situation that they may have. In reference to finding opportunities, you know, I think this is kind of a, you know, a good test for us, you know, working with you.
Yeah, well, interesting, and I'm going to segue in a couple other things, but maybe to summarize out what just got discussed is that if CDC and Jay have developed, you know, the program has been developed, and it's a whereby you can take advantage of a network of banks to increase the FDIC insurance on a per tax ID basis and do it all online on a single consolidated basis with continuous liquidity, no fees and penalties. And it's been up and running for a while. It wasn't like they launched it yesterday. Bill, who's the founder of the company. You know, he started it 18 years ago. Now, let me segue into something, and I know, Jay, we talk about not moving into this, but won't you talk about how you work with nonprofit organizations and coordinate with the banks regarding community involvement aspects? Maybe you can spend a few minutes talking about that.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So we recognize, you know, our name is Charities Deposit Corporation, CDC Deposits. And the reason for that is, you know, we recognize that we work with community-based banks. And what do community-based banks typically do? Well, they're working, you know, locally, and they have to do more than just, you know, provide the basic checking savings accounts. I mean, all banks have to provide services to local nonprofits as well. They call it CRA, Community Reinvestment Act. So they all are legally required to do something like that. But community-based banks just do a better job of it, quite honestly. And so along the way, we recognized that we could really do good and have a more solid relationship with our banks and potentially help out our investors if they were interested in it. So the idea is, it's not the idea, this is how we run it, is that every dollar that's within our organization, we provide a donation to a local nonprofit. As such, so all the deposits, say I have $50 million at a local bank, those deposits are designated to local nonprofits accordingly. So the bank gets a better opportunity to work with their nonprofits, work with us, and it's really been a great program. It's been wonderful for us. We've built solid relationships with our banks, certainly with local nonprofits. And on the investor side, the side that we're talking to today, you know, there is a value that, you know, we are one of the only, I think we are the only socially responsible investment in cash. So if you have some socially responsible ideas for your client base or your, you know, people you work with, you know, we provide millions of dollars, you know, over the bunch of years now that we've been doing this, in donations to these local nonprofits and various projects and so forth. And Bill is a big proponent of that. But that doesn't affect, what's great about it, it doesn't affect the interest rate to the end client, be it your clients. So we're paying that out of our income to provide another value add to the how we work, run our business, and certainly how we work with our banks. And on the investor side with that as well, you know, we could potentially, well, it's not potentially, we can find, you know, have advisors' funds designated to local nonprofits that we're working with. And that's been another, you know, another way of working with us. So I know a big part of your practice, Nick, is working and providing socially responsible, you know, opportunities for people, and certainly your advisor base. So that was one of the reasons that we know we perked our interest with you. So
we're directly involved in over $1.7 billion in planned gifts last year, and all that came from wealth management firms that we work with on a national basis that are members of our Wealth Blueprinting Alliance. And so many of the advisors we work with have some serious intent relevant to giving back, and obviously their clients do once they see all the tax advantages and so on. So this all adds a new ingredient to the mixing bowl for advisory firms that want to maybe expand their brand in a community while at the same time assisting their clients in increasing their money market rates and also opening the door up to talk to community banks in a unique way in conjunction with nonprofit organizations in the community. And it all adds up into, from a brand, a cause marketing standpoint, can be pretty doggone effective.
Right. Most people don't look at their cash as, you know, as an opportunity. And, you know, we recognize that, like you had said earlier, that you can pick up a decent amount of yield, and it's really not that hard. You know, we have to obviously wire funds into our network through our custodian, be it Wells Fargo, that goes into our network of hundreds of banks. But that is only you know, potential blip of the typical, you know, transaction for an advisor. You know, we're not on a clearing platform. That's usually what I get asked. But we are, reason for that is because so we can work with pretty much anybody, and that's really what helped grow our business. And so that essentially the funds get wired into our network, and then the advisor has, you know, total control of telling us when money's coming in and when money's coming out, and then we, you know, wire accordingly. And it's really grown nicely because of that. So the advisor feels like they're still in control of their assets. You know, we don't sell anything else. You know, all we do all day long is make sure that deposits are insured, paid a good interest rate. And then, you know, obviously, you know, we have this whole nonprofit side that we feel is wonderful. And it doesn't affect the interest rate because we're passing on the full interest rate to the advisor, to the client. And then if the advisor wants to take a portion of it, that's up to them. and it's really grown, and we appreciate you kind of helping us get the word out.
Oh yeah, it's pretty very exciting and unique out there in the marketplace, because we've all from a custodial standpoint, where most of the money is parked on a money market standpoint with wealth management firms, we've gotten used to 35 basis points. And, it's been an educational experience for my team and myself, realizing that there's 80 basis points plus that's available in the money market arena, but it's being moved someplace else, where the net, there are 35 basis points sitting in that money market account for the client. That's things need to change, and this is a great way to consider that relevant to what the MAX program and what CDC has developed. Now, why don't we open it up to question and answer at this point, Jay? Adam, can you unmute our participants? And what questions or thoughts might you have?
All guests have been muted.
Relevant to the
All guests
product.
Have been unmuted.
Okay, everyone's unmuted now. So what questions or thoughts might you have? Don't be shy. Anyone?
I must have done a pretty good job.
Yeah. Just answered all the questions. Okay, so in conclusion, for those who don't already know, my organization provides coaching, training, marketing, and case design in coordination with our open option practice engineering process and our portfolio of proprietary advanced strategy platforms. We're committed to helping advisors fortify their value proposition by fusing new services and products such as this into their firms, creating fresh revenue and profit silos while enhancing client acquisition and retention. Now, from a contact standpoint, I'm going to give you Jay's contact information as well as his company's. CDCDeposits.com is the website address for CDC Deposits. And they're in Jay's direct line. And, Jay, you spend most of your time up in New Jersey, right? And then you have their offices around the country, which you head up. All right. So your direct line, correct me if I'm wrong, is 856-296-2616.
No, 1626.
1626 at the end. 856-296-1626 is Jay's direct line, and his email address is j.stillman, S-T-I-L-L-M-A-N, at cdcdepositswithans.com. And then my firm's contact information is thefei.com. thefei.com is our main website address. And our number is 888-884-3332. And, Jay, I want to thank you again for participating in our regularly scheduled teleconference. Our next conference is coming up on the 18th, I believe. Our teleconferences are always scheduled on a Thursday at 2 p.m. or 2 Eastern Standard Time. And thank you all for participating. Jay, thank you again for sharing with us this very unique opportunity in the marketplace for all the wealth management firms that we work with across the country. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nick. I appreciate the time. Thank you.